It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is February 8th, 2022. Wow, it's already February. We're halfway through the first quarter. Almost. We're nearing the middle of the first quarter of the year. January really flew by. I'm a little clogged up. I've been in a weird state. Excuse me. I don't know what it is. Probably a mental health issue. But every so many months, I just get a little weepy. And then I get a little extra happy. So, I would just welcome anyone who wants to hang out and chat during the show just to jump on over to comm. That's what I'm going to do right now. So you just SSH over to sdf.org. If you don't have an account, you can SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org. And then it'll go through a whole sign-up process. Once you're done, you'll have a username. And that username, my friend, will allow you to SSH over. Then, if you're super in tune with terminal stuff and everything, you can do all sorts of stuff. But if you're not, that's fine. All you gotta do is run comm, C-O-M, press enter, and you go ahead and press, sorry, I typed the wrong thing. go ahead, type com, C-O-M, then you press G for go to, and then you type a non-radio, all lowercase. That's what I'm doing. And once you do that, you will see a list of usernames and some ASCII art that says a non-radio. It's taken a minute here to connect for me. There we go, boom, 65 people and a non-radio. You're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF, and there's cool people. Incom, including the Sakuro, exiled left, but probably is around. Perrin, thank you so much for being here. And there's all sorts of people in the room, so we should have a good time. So just jump on over. I remembered to pull up the clock for a non-radio, so I shouldn't talk all the way into the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which happens every single day at 19:30 UTC. I've been using my clock on my computer, which is off by, I don't know, 10 or 20 seconds, which causes trouble. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. There's a ton of news, a lot of it good, which is a bit of a surprise given the way the show normally goes. All right, so let's get started the way we pretty much always start, and that's
World News.
That's right. World news. We'll begin with the Ukraine. That's a huge story going on right now. One of the things to mention is that Macron met with the leader of the Ukraine, and they sat at a normal size table. So just a regular like table you would have dinner with four people at. So French President Emmanuel Macron said Tuesday he saw a path forward on easing tensions with Russia over Ukraine. After conducting an urgent round of shuttle diplomacy between Moscow and Kiev, the French leader said he now saw the possibility for talks involving Moscow and Kiev over the festering conflict in the east of the country to move forward, and concrete practical solutions to lower tensions between Russia and the West. Welcome back, X1. Or welcome, X1. Macron arrived in Berlin for a talk on Ukraine crisis at 6:40 p.m. Paris time, and he arrived in Berlin for evening talks with the leaders of Germany and Poland on the Ukraine crisis after a round of shuttle diplomacy. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, who himself just returned from a visit to Washington, D.C., dominated by the Ukraine tensions, is hosting the meeting with Macron and Polish President Andrzej Duda in a bid to present a united front. So, it's very exciting to see what will happen there. It looks like Europe's coming together and solving Europe's problems. But we shall see. Like I said, everything with this has been really kind of teeter-totter, but it really looks like these guys are working it out, which is pretty cool. It's not all sunshine, though. Violence returned to Guinea-Bissau on Monday as gunmen attacked a private radio station in the capital. According to a radio manager, masked men with guns fired shots and destroyed radio equipment. Some employees were also a target of violence. What just happened is absurd. It's really absurd. It's a genuine criminal act in broad daylight, said Alberto Brema Sain, local resident and witness to the event. Some point the finger squarely at the government. They know exactly where these vehicles are because there were only these vehicles. They will be found in the courtyard of the presidential palace. That is where they are hiding. They know it very well, denounced Mamadou, another local resident and witness to the events. Last week, President Umaro Sissoco Embalo survived an attempted coup that claimed at least 11 lives. What we are witnessing today in some foreign media is an attempt to whitewash a violent coup aimed at the decapitation of the Guinean state, using people involved in drug trafficking and hiring mercenary rebels from Casamance. Accused Fernando Vaz, Minister of Tourism and spokesman for the government. Since its independence from Portugal in 1974, Guinea-Bissau has suffered 4 military coups, the most recent one in 2012. So, fledgling democracy, doing its best. Well, from bad to worst, the UN says 13 million people face hunger in the Horn of Africa as the drought worsens there. An estimated 13 million people in the Horn of Africa are facing severe hunger, the United Nations World Food Program has said. Drought conditions have affected pastoral and farmer populations across southern and southeastern Ethiopia, southeastern and northern Kenya, and south-central Somalia, with forecasts of below-average rainfall threatening to worsen already dire conditions in the coming months. Harvests are ruined, livestock are dying, and hunger is growing as recurrent droughts affect the Horn of Africa, Michael Dunford, regional director in the WFP, Regional Bureau for Eastern Africa, said in a statement on Tuesday. Welcome, Claudio M. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. The situation requires immediate humanitarian action and consistent support to build the resilience of communities for the future. Shortages of water and pasture due to 3 consecutive failed rainy seasons have decimated crops and caused abnormally high livestock deaths. Hey, welcome, Ronald. Thanks for tuning in. Something I would point out, I feel like this is something Publius could chime in with, but the way I understand it, decimated literally meant like 1/10 the force or whatever. So whenever I read that something decimated something, I think they often mean that it like just completely destroyed it or obliterated it. But in my head, I always just picture 10% of whatever it is being destroyed, and then it doesn't feel like such a huge disaster. Additionally, hikes in staple food prices, inflation, and low demand for agricultural labor have reduced people's ability to buy food. The WFP said families are being forced from their homes, leading to increased conflict between community. The UN has repeatedly raised alarm over prolonged drought in the fragile region, prone to armed violence. Yeah. Yep, X1, you are on board. In neighboring Somalia, more than 7 million people need urgent help. Experts say extreme weather events are happening with increased frequency and intensity due to climate change. And we can't forget that Ethiopia is having a huge battle right now. So so it's kind of hard to get any aid to them because of the war going on there. It's really sad. Well, don't worry. Turmoil in Africa is not the only place it's going on. China is encroaching along Nepalese border. A Nepalese government report leaked to the BBC accuses China of encroaching into Nepal along the two countries' shared border. It is the first time there have been official claims from Nepal of Chinese interference in its territory. The report was commissioned last September following claims that China has been trespassing in the district of Humla in the far west of Nepal. China's embassy in Kathmandu denies there's been any encroachment. Following the publication of the leaked report, Nepalese Communications Minister Gyanendra Bahadur Karki said any border issues with its neighbors would be dealt with diplomatically. Either with India or with China, if there are any issues at our border, we will resolve them through diplomatic means. Such problems should not arise, and the Nepal government will always make efforts to prevent such situations. Well, come on back whenever you can, Claudio M. Sounds like an interesting time. He's posted in comm that he's going to the auditorium to make sure it's all set for the faculty meeting, and then he'll be back. I recently had to be updated on some of my office policies. We have a limit now. No more than 10 people in an inside meeting, and no more than 20 people in any outside gathering. But everyone is working from home and is discouraged from coming to the office at all, so we're not having any meetings that big anytime soon, at least not in the next 30 days or so. All right, so yeah, China is encroaching on Nepal. Nepal officially says, hey, we would never, we would always use peaceful discussions to deal with this. So we'll see, we'll see. Turkey is having, we're all about territorial disputes today. Turkey opens new dispute over sovereignty of East Aegean Islands. Turkey, for the first time, disputes Greece's sovereignty over its East Aegean Islands, which were meant to remain demilitarized. As NATO confronts Russia over security in Europe, renewed tension between Greece and Turkey is gnawing at the alliance's eastern heel. In letters sent to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres last July and September, Turkey, for the first time, disputed Greece's sovereignty over its East Aegean Islands, over which sovereignty was ceded to Greece on the specific and strict condition they be kept demilitarized, in words of Turkey's permanent representative, Feridun Sinigrologo. So yeah, Greece and Turkey, Greece absorbed the islands of Limnos, Samothrace, Lesvos, Samos, Chios, and Icaria from the Ottoman Empire in the Balkan Wars of 1912 to 1913. It was officially awarded sovereignty over them in the Treaty of Lausanne of 1923. Another treaty, drawn up in London in 1914, had made Greek possession of the islands conditional on their demilitarization. Turkey says that since the Lausanne Treaty makes reference to the 1914 treaty, it implies the same conditionality. Greece rejects that interpretation. So maybe they'll have to fight it out. The Lausanne Treaty said Greece could not build naval bases, fortifications, or large concentrations of troops on the islands. Greece has never built naval bases on the islands and has denied it has placed disproportionate forces there. But Greece did start putting forces on the island in the 1960s as intercommunications broke down on Cyprus between Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots, complicating Greek-Turkish relations. In 1974, Turkey invaded Cyprus after a Greek-backed coup attempt on the island. Greece reacted by reinforcing the troops on its Aegean islands. You have a revisionist neighbor who's invaded every adjacent state. It sat in Cyprus for 48 years. It's illegally invaded Syria and Iraq. I don't think Turkey's record suggests we can drop all concern that it can do the same in the Aegean if it thinks it can get away with it. Konstantinos Phyllis, director of the Institute of Global Affairs at the American College of Greece, told Al Jazeera. So, hey, welcome, JKIR, or Jake here. Thanks for being here. Yeah, so Greece and Turkey are fighting over some islands, and it looks like it's a pretty simple problem. Hey, don't militarize these islands that are in between us, but seems like a problem. You know what else is a problem?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
That guy's a real problem, real pain in the neck. But don't worry, we've got to do one more disputed territory, and then we got an animal story. Then we'll play a song. So check it out. Oh, hey, Tobe, welcome. Mauritius announces boat expedition to the disputed Chagos Islands. What's funny is Chagos is the name of a Puerto Rican restaurant near me. I haven't been inside, but I drive past it quite frequently. The government of Mauritius announced on Tuesday it's sending a boat to the disputed Chagos Islands in the Indian Ocean. The archipelago is under British rule, but Mauritius has won growing international support for its control campaign to take back control of the islands. The Mauritian authorities claim it is a scientific expedition with the aim of mapping the reefs around the archipelago. The boat will also carry a group of elderly native inhabitants of the island forced to leave their homes by the British half a century ago. In 2019, the International Court of Justice ruled that Britain should give up control of the islands. On the islands of Diego Garcia is home to an important U.S. military base, which lies at the center of the dispute. Britain has previously said that Mauritius can take control of the Chagos Islands once the archipelago is no longer needed for security purposes. So, sounds like Britain doesn't want to give up any more old imperial territory. Yeah, and it's not Jerry Garcia. Easy to forget. It's Diego Garcia. So, don't get those mixed up. All right. Well, let's talk about animal story. I should make an animal news one.
That's correct.
Crocodile with tire around neck freed after 6 years. A wild crocodile in Indonesia has been freed after having a tire stuck around its neck. Pretty... Sorry, I'm all everywhere right now. Local resident Tilly, who is a self-taught reptile rescuer, had been tracking the crocodile for 3 weeks before finally capturing it. He then used a saw to cut the tire and release the reptile back to the water. So that's great news. This crocodile, I wish I could share it. It's a video. There's no still photo. Is just massive. And anyway, it's just a very large animal, so it's just a trip. All right. Well, I don't know what this song sounds like, but it's Paul McCartney, and it's labeled Alligator. So let's check it out.
Okay.
This does not sound like Paul McCartney.
I want someone to come home to. I need somewhere I can sleep. I need a place where I can rest my weary bones and have a conversation not too deep. Everybody else is busy doing better than me. And I can see why it is they got someone setting them free. Someone breaking the chains. Someone letting them be. Someone who can save me when I come home from the zoo. I need somebody who's a sweet communicator I can give my alligator to. Everybody seems to know what they're talking about. And I can see why it is they got someone breaking them out.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, my friends, well, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks for tuning in, hanging out in COM or IRC or XMPP or whatever method you prefer to hang out. Most of us are hanging out in COM, but please feel free to be wherever you would like to be. Hey, GTC 1977, welcome, welcome. Let's go ahead and do a couple of domestic stories since, you know, like always, we're running out of time. We've got about, 7 minutes and some change, 7.2 seconds before it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. So first up, Czech millionaire. Well, this isn't domestic, but it is a little bit softer. Sorry, coughing. Czech millionaire investigated over alleged 417 kilometers an hour motorway drive in Germany. Germany is famous for having no speed limits on stretches of its motorways, but a Czech millionaire appearing to do 417 kilometers an hour, which is 260 miles per hour, may have been testing the limit of what's tolerable. Radim Paser is now being investigated for his apparent drive along a motorway in the state of Saxony-Anhalt. The prosecutor's office in Stendal said it had launched a probe into the potentially illegal incident. The driver faces a prison sentence of up to 2 years or a fine, reports say. I'm very curious what our German friends might think of this, because this is interesting. The wealthy sports car owner from the Czech Republic posted videos of last summer's apparent drive in a Bugatti Chiron on the A2 between Berlin and Hanover on YouTube, bringing attention to the incident. In the videos, the car's speedometer appears to display a speed of up to 417 kilometers an hour. In written comments beneath the video, Mr. Passer says, "There was visibility along the whole stretch. Safety was a priority, so the circumstances had to be safe to go." He adds that the drive took place at 4:50 on a Sunday morning, so 4, this is a.m. time, so 4:50 on a Sunday morning, and there had been an earlier drive through the stretch of the motorway. Police launched an investigation after the alleged breach was reported in German media. According to the criminal code, a solo drive can still constitute an offense if the driver moves at an inappropriate speed and in a manner that grossly violates the traffic code and is reckless. Transport Minister Volker Wissing has condemned the driver's attitude, noting that while there is no speed limit in Germany, the car should always be under control, the AFP news agency quotes him as saying. So, there isn't a posted speed limit, but apparently there's a reasonable... a reasonableness, oh, as fast as a reasonable German might go, I guess, is maybe the key. So anyway, that's going on in Germany. Good luck, guys. And Home Depot worker allegedly swapped $387,500. So that's over $250,000. Put a picture of the fast car in COM if you want to check out what this Bugatti looks like. It's sdf.org/L/HV. So that's Lima/Hotel Victor. Arizona man was arrested after it discovered he was stuffing real money into his pocket and replacing the bills with fake ones. An employee at Home Depot in Arizona has scammed the company out of hundreds of thousands of dollars since 2018 by swapping out cash from the register for fake $100 bills, according to a criminal complaint. Gene Pineda, who used to be in charge of counting the money in Home Depot registers in Tempe, allegedly siphoned $387,500 over 4 years through this scheme. Pineda was asked to take a bag to bag the cash from the registers, put it in sealed bags, and move it to an account at a Wells Fargo bank, an access that allowed him to evade the first layer of counterfeit detection, the cashier, Frank Boudot Jr. of the Secret Service told The Times. During this time, Pineda lived a lifestyle far beyond his means, according to Bordeaux, including buying a new car and hiring a personal trainer. In security footage, Pineda was reportedly seen stuffing bundles of real money into his pocket and replacing the original notes with fake ones after cashiers brought him the register's bills. Bordeaux said investigators subpoenaed Pineda's Amazon records and the value of the fake bills he purchased and mirrored the amount that Home Depot was reported as their loss. That's even worse. He was buying the fake money on Amazon. After a manager confronted Pineda, he admitted to trading out the bills. Bordeaux said Pineda had agreed to pay restitution. Fake dollar bills are not hard to get online, and the ones Pineda allegedly used to scam employers had play money written in place of serial numbers. On Amazon, there are scores of prop money listings from numerous sellers, most of them with high reviews. An Amazon search for prop money generates suggestions for more specific searches, such as prop money, $100 bills, realistic. I have bought some of these prop dollar bills for a costume that I was going to do on Halloween before COVID hit. And I got to tell you, it looks really good. It's cheap. For about $8, you can purchase 150 pieces that include bills and coins. Products on Amazon are advertised as pretend play for children or educational purposes. And they seem to be a favorite for parents as well. If you don't feel it or read the small print, you'll totally believe it's real money, reads a review. So, there you go. don't steal from your employer. You'll get caught. Even if your employer is God. I have sinned. U.S. nun gets 1 year in jail for $835,000 theft. Yep, the nun stole more than that guy working at Home Depot. Mary Margaret Krupper, a retired nun, admitted that she had broken her vow of poverty by stealing $835,000 from a California school where she worked to fund her gambling. Krupper, age 80, will spend a year and a day in prison for wire fraud and money laundering. I have sinned, I have broken the law, and I have no excuses, she said at her sentencing in Los Angeles. For over a decade, Krupper embezzled funds from tuition and donations to the St. James Catholic School, where she was principal. She then instructed other school employees to alter and destroy financial records to cover up her crime. The money, which according to prosecutors could have covered school fees for over a dozen students, was spent on trips to casinos and holidays for Krupper and her friends. The scheme was revealed during an audit after Krupper retired in 2018. So, danger, Will Robinson. All right, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is coming up in just, about 120 seconds from now. And Tobe has reported he has fresh tea, which means we are going to have a synthesizer good time. X1 lets us know in many places you cannot own fake money that looks like real money. Yeah, the United States was super uptight about it, but for some reason it started getting much more lax. I don't know what the deal is. Bitcoin donations to Ukraine NGOs and volunteer groups soar. Cryptocurrencies have become a crowdfunding method for groups backing Ukraine's government, a new report finds. You can read more about that at Al Jazeera. Other headlines. A section of Ghanaians declared Tuesday, February 8th, as No Calls Day across the country. The concerned mobile network subscribers say this is in protest of the government's ongoing SIM card re-registration. The group has called on the citizenry not to make or receive phone calls today as a sign of registering their displeasure. So, I'll probably find out tomorrow whether it was a success. And, well, oh, cool. They are starting to leaf blower outside my window. Anyway, the only other story I wanted to mention was the Jews dressing as Muslims to get around a prayer ban. You heard that right. Some extremist Jews reveal they've been dressing as Muslims to enter and worship at a bitterly contested holy site, Temple Mount or the Al-Aqsa Mosque. After Israel captured and occupied East Jerusalem in 1967, a delicate status quo remained. Non-Muslims can visit the complex, but they must not pray there. The BBC has been speaking to Jewish-Israeli activist Raphael Morris, who leads a fringe group called Returning to the Mount, which advocates prayer at the site he calls the Temple Mount, and to a Palestinian Muslim activist, Hanandi Halawani, who says she will defend the Al-Aqsa Mosque. All right, well, we've got about 10 seconds, so thanks for being here. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end.
7, 6.